Some people like listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. And some people like drinking pickle juice. Not all that different when you get right down to it. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Watch out, look behind you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am, guess which one I am? No. No, I'm Ron Van Dam. Oh, God. Okay. All right. What do you want? What do you want now? Welcome to the program. It's what day? Oh, it's the hump day thing. Yay. Who cares? It's hump day. Go out and find a person that you want to have sex with and hump them. I believe that's what that day means. Well, it's hump day. It's like Labor Day. It's for pregnant women. If you're in labor, we honor you today. Right? Isn't that what that means? Maybe I don't get it. Maybe I don't get it. 4th of July. Oh, it's the 4th of July. Great. Tomorrow's the 5th of July. Then the 6th of July. No, Ron, it's Independence Day. No, it's the 4th of July. I'm celebrating the fact that in July there's a 4th day. That's all I'm doing. Whoa, you don't get the holidays, do you? No, I don't. Anyway, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. I don't play golf. I know. I don't play golf. What an odd way to get into a subject. Yeah, this is the time of year when golfers come out of the woodwork. You know? Golf. Seriously? In theory, it's good, but in actuality, it's odd. If you play golf, I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just trying to make sense of the whole deal. I like golf. I've played it before, but I refuse to be a golfer. Because, first of all, you have to dress like one. I can't dress like a golfer. That's ridiculous. Are you kidding me? Why would I want to do something like that? Why would I want to wear pastel-colored pants at my age, or any age? Pastel-colored pants? That's not very manly, I must say. I am the king of the world, and I wear pink pants. I don't think you're the king. Not like that. You have to wear a belt that's a little ridiculous. And you have to wear a polo shirt that looks like you're 10 years old. And you have to walk around. There has to be a little alligator on it or some type of logo or something. I mean, you know, Jesus Christ. Yeah, you have to look silly. You basically have to look like an independent fool. And I'm sorry again if you're a golfer. I'm not calling you. I'm saying that you don't dress well. You think you do. You don't look good. And in the Masters tournament, which is the Super Bowl of golf, what do you win? A trophy? Well, yeah, but you have to wear a green jacket. A green? Who wears a green jacket? If anybody showed up to a dinner or to a wedding wearing a green jacket, they'd be laughed out of the event. Here's a green jacket. Oh shit! Do I have to wear this? Yeah, in front of the entire world. I'd love to see a real large fat man win the Masters and they wouldn't have a green jacket to put on the guy. I'm sorry. I'll give you a green robe. Or like a really skinny person, looks like a jockey, you know, and then but they don't have a green jacket to put on them when they win the tournament. Oh my God, he can't win the tournament. We don't have a jacket for him. That's the prize. You have to wear a green jacket. It's like being shamed. Congratulations, you won the tournament. Now we're going to shame you. Wear your green jacket with your pastel-colored pants and your little striped polo shirt, you shall be Schmuck of the Year. Did I win the Masters, or is this a Hasty Puddings kind of thing? Hasty pudding. Not tasty. Not tasty. Ooh, 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 ooh. Jell-O pudding. Tasty. Except for Bill Cosby. That didn't work out for Bill, did it? That Jell-O thing? No, no. Have you heard from Bill Cosby? I got an email from him yesterday. He said, Ron, how you doing? Anyway, yeah, golf, I can't dress like that. I can't do it. And they won't let me on the course if I dress the way I usually dress, which is normal. I don't know. Here's the odd thing about golf. They say, well, it's great exercise. You get to great outdoors and it's great exercise. Yeah, most of those guys tool around in golf carts. So what kind of exercise is that? You're hitting the ball and you get back in the car. I mean, come on. That's no exercise. Yeah, but I'm in the great outdoors. What are you doing? Shooting bear or something? Are you hunting? No, you're hitting the stick with the ball and you get in the car and you go to the next stickball place. That's not exercise. That's stupid. And you're dressed like an idiot on top of it. That's what golf is to me. And like every four or five holes, they have a ball washing station, you know, where you're supposed to wash your balls. I misunderstood that as well. Believe me, that was embarrassing. Ron, why are your pants down in front of that sink? It's a ball washing station. I guess to play golf, your balls have to be clean. Ron, no, the golf balls. Oh. Ball washing. Why do people not just start laughing all of a sudden? And why should I wash my balls? I mean, I'm just going to hit them with a club and they're going to end up all over the grass and they're going to have grass stains and dirt on them. Well, that's why, Ron, that's why you have to wash your balls every once in a while. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not doing anything like that, no matter what that actually means. If you hit a golf ball and the ball looks like it's about to hit somebody in the distance, like because your aim is so bad, and oh my God, the ball could hit somebody in the head and kill them, you don't yell, "Watch out." That would be my go-to phrase. If I had hit a ball and it started to go toward a person, I would naturally yell, "Watch out," or I could yell out, "Oh shit," but "watch out" would be more of a warning. But for some reason, if you're a golfer, you yell out a number. I don't understand why. You yell out 4. Is that a code or something? Yeah, number 4 is "watch out, there's a ball coming at your head." What's 3? "Watch out for the swamp area." 3. Oh my God, I'm about to step in a swamp. 4. Oh my God, there's a ball coming at me. I don't have time to. What is this? You know, what the hell is this? Are these codes? 4. If you're standing in a lightning storm and lightning hits a tree and the tree starts coming at you and is about to smash you to pieces, what do you yell? 6. 6. Wow, he died because a tree fell on him? Was there a warning? I yelled 6. I don't get it. I just don't. I'm sorry. At the end of the 18 holes, I think there's 18 holes involved. I don't know. It's so simple, you know, like, what are you doing? I'm trying to get the ball in the hole. Sounds a little simplistic. Not really, because you have to hit the ball with a stick and you're far away. Oh, that sounds like fun. The only good thing about the golf carts is they're usually electric, and that saves the planet. But beyond that, there's nothing. There's nothing going on here. So they have the clubhouse at the end of your 18 holes of fun. It's a clubhouse where you sit there and you have a beer and you sit there with other guys that wear pastel pants. Now, you're saying, Ron, you're being a little sexist. It's not just guys. No, you're right. It's women that dress stupid, too. Oh, there are a lot of women golfers, and they're actually very good. They can hit a ball and get in a golf cart as good as anybody can. Golf is also, if you don't, if you're a professional golf player, golf is a little interesting because it looks bad because you have a caddy. Oh, Johnson, could you grab the bag of heavy metal poles, please, and follow me and write down in the journal the little card with a stupid little pencil. Write down things for me and go out and buy my wife some flowers, please, and pick up my dry cleaning. And Johnson, could you, yes, and follow me. Never walk in front of me, Johnson. Walk behind me and don't talk to me unless I talk to you. It's a very, very odd relationship between the golfer and the caddy. And what is, don't they have real pencils on golf courses? What is with this stubby little pencil? Why? They don't even have erasers. You shouldn't have to erase, Ron. You just cross out. What's with the stubby pencil thing? These people are paying like hundreds and thousands of dollars to be a part of this golf club, to play golf. And what do they get for it? A stubby little pencil, and the big ones get a green jacket. I mean, come on, man. This is the strangest thing. Golf is also the only sport where the sportscasters, the announcers, have to whisper.
He's coming up to the hole now, and he's going to be putting with the... So they're taking his putter out, and he'll be putting the ball, and he's going to get into the hole rather soon. It's really nice outside, and people are standing here, and they're watching him, and you know he's starting to bend down. He's moving his left elbow. He'll be putting for about... should be about 3 yards or about 6 yards or, well, depending on the size of your yard. I have a big yard, so 2 yards would be like really far. I shouldn't be using a putter. It's going to, the ball is on an angle of about 20 degrees, so he's putting a little bit to the left and then a little bit to the right and a little bit to the center. And if he's not careful, he's going to hit the blades of the windmill, and that should be a problem for him. No, there's a bee. A bee is about to sting me on my cheek. Oh no, the bee has landed on my cheek, and is placing its stinger into my cheek at this moment. Ouch, ouch. That is incredibly painful. My eye is swelling up, and now I cannot see. I think I'm going to go into some type of cardiac arrest. It sounds like I'm already in it, but not just yet. So I'll be passing out, and we're going to go to a commercial break. And when we come back, perhaps I will be dead, or they will have given me some type of a remedy so that my heart did not stop. But my God, I am in an incredible amount of pain at this moment, and everything on me is swelling and is burning the hell out of my skin. It's really debilitating in a large, large fashion. So we're going to step aside for just a few moments while the paramedics treat my injury. And when we come back, we'll continue our coverage of the 22nd New Boo Boo Open right here.
They call these things an open. Yes, it's the Nabisco Open. I believe you just tear along the top of the box and the cookies come out. I don't know why you have to give me an open. What's an open? Golf is strange, man. It's strange stuff. Even the scoring is strange. Yeah, what did you shoot today on the course? I shot a 37. And what did you shoot, Bob? I shot 127. Whoa, Bob, good deal. Whoa, shot a lot. You got a lot of holes. Pretty good. He got 127. You only got 37? That's embarrassing.
No, it's the other way around.
Oh, okay. Wow. So the lowest you can go is 18?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. The only stupider scoring system is tennis, where zero is love. It's love 30. Oh, that's nice. No, it's zero. I have zero love. Nobody likes me. That's what love is, zero, nothing. I have a lot of love. I have a lot of nothing is what it is.
Wow.
So you scored a point?
Yeah.
So it's like one to love, one to nothing?
No, it's 15 to nothing.
15? How'd you get to 15? I thought you just won.
Oh, yeah, it goes 15 and then 30 and then 45.
What are you, crazy? What do you want, drugs? You're just making up numbers now.
Well, yes, we are.
What if it's tied? Is it a tie?
Well, yeah, but then one has to have the advantage over the other.
What are you, crazy? What are you, sick? Why are you making this so difficult? Ladies and gentlemen, sports is a phenomenon that I cannot understand sometimes. Golf, not for me. Sorry. No way. Uh-uh. But I do enjoy it. My father used to watch golf on TV, and I thought that he really liked the game. But in all actuality, he just needed some sleep. Because golf makes you go to sleep. And you know why? It's because of those damn announcers.
All right, he's on the 23rd hole now, and he's about to take out his 9-iron and then his 8-iron, and he'll follow by his 7-iron. And he's then he... No, it's in the 6-iron, and then it is...
We don't get to choose our family names. We're born into them, and some of them are, quite frankly, a little embarrassing. For many, a burden that follows them through life. If you've got an embarrassing last name, you may have thought about having it legally changed, but perhaps you thought it might be complicated and expensive. Well, I'm here to tell you that having your last name legally changed is simple and cost-effective, and will take that lifelong burden away in just a few easy steps. Call me today, Attorney Jim Cockwaffle, with the offices of Cockwaffle and Cumstein. We know what you're going through.
Hi, Ashley. How are you?
Good morning, Ron. I'm great. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Ashley Byrne joins us. She's the Associate Director of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. We know it as PETA. And we're talking about, this is interesting, and I'm glad you're here, because I was actually thinking about this a few days ago, because I like to eat eggs, and I apologize for that, but I'm confused. I'm confused about things. Everything is labeled with these organic and humane and cage-free, but I don't know if it's really true or even what it might necessarily represent.
Well, Ron, you know, I think a lot of people feel that way. And, you know, I think what we've seen in the past several years is that consumers with good intentions, they've seen the images of, you know, these horrific factory farms.
Yes.
You know, like, for instance, the ones where eggs are produced, where chickens are just stacked on top of each other, and there are 10 of them in a cage, and they're, you know, the feces is falling on the chickens below, and it's so horrific. And so in trying to do better, they, you know, people are buying these products that are labeled cage-free, humane, organic, not knowing that so often the difference for the animals is negligible, or in some cases, you know, like with the organic label, it literally means pretty much nothing for the animal.
That's what I thought.
So we're very glad to be having this conversation, because people who are trying to do the right thing shouldn't be faced with these labels that are misleading them into buying products and thinking they're buying something that is good for animals when they're really not.
Well, I guess I have two parts to this question before we get into what to do about it. What exactly are these definitions, and are they, is there any agency or any authentication that these situations are being handled as stamped on a carton?
Mm-hmm. Well, so labels, you know, I think the one that we see most often, or, you know, one of the most, common ones that we see is certified humane.
Okay.
And that's supposed to, you know, people take that to mean that they are, you know, buying a product that is actually, you know, humane towards animals.
Right.
Certified humane standards were intended to reduce suffering, but typically this happens in very insufficient ways that don't even come close to eliminating it.
All right.
And so for, you know, if you're talking about eggs, for example, the certified humane label allows the sourcing of chickens from hatcheries that kill all the male chicks by throwing them into a macerator, basically grinding them up alive. And it also allows cutting off the ends of baby hens' beaks with a hot blade so that they don't peck each other in stressful, crowded conditions.
Right.
Which, if we're talking about a humane situation, why are they in a stressful, crowded condition?
Right.
And, you know, I think if you look at the footage that PETA has taken on certified humane farms, it's not what most people would think of as humane, and it's not what people think they're buying.
Well, what would I look for to use that phrase humane? I mean, I don't know the difference between cage-free and free-range, for example. Is that the same thing?
You know, that's a good question, too. When you see something labeled cage-free or free-range, I think most of us think of, you know, animals outside, in a field in the sun with space roaming around. And frankly, that's not what we find on most or many of these free-range farms. Chickens on a free-range farm can be kept in a shed with roughly 20,000 hens, and only a small opening onto a little strip of grass or dirt outside. And so on many of these farms, a hen would have to fight her way through crowds of thousands of aggressive, stressed out, socially dominant hens in order to get out of the shed. So most of them are just not coming near that outdoor area. And, you know, some veterinarians who have viewed footage of these types of farms have said that the outdoor areas are really window dressing to back up marketing claims, but they do little to substantially improve most of the hens' lives, because they're never going to reach that outdoor area. I think when we hear free range, cage free, I mean, and cage free, again, you know, because the hens aren't in cages, it doesn't mean that they aren't suffering.
Yeah.
You know, if a hen is crowded into a shed with 20,000 other hens, not getting daylight, not getting, you know, to roam and forage outside and have a proper social structure and do what's natural for her, that is not going to be a happy animal.
So one might feel, a consumer might feel like they're being duped by words that don't necessarily mean what they think they mean, or even duped to buy more expensive eggs, figuring that there's different treatment, but there really isn't to that extent at all. What do we do about it? Is someone doing a lawsuit or something?
You know, right now, there actually is a class action lawsuit being filed in New York federal court against a company called Pete and Jerry's Organics, LLC, and Nelly's Free Range Eggs on behalf of consumers. Yes, and you know, and these consumers feel that they were misled into buying eggs sold under the Nelly's label. Because the lawsuit details how Nelly's cartons depict hens enjoying vast, lush, grassy fields. And they include claims such as, "We love our hens."
And
the brand makes similar claims on its website, where you'll see, you know, videos of hens in very idyllic situations. And then the, you know, you can see on PETA's website that, you know, again, we're actually talking about hens being kept in crowded conditions, you know, where most of them can't reach an outdoor area. So, you know, there. So this lawsuit is doing just that. It's, you know, representing people who do feel they were duped by marketing.
Right. Good. Good. And when that happens, hopefully the other companies say, "I don't want to be a target of this either. I better get my act together." But, I mean, are there indeed manufacturers of eggs? It's a horrible phrase. I'm sorry.
Actually,
I mean, I guess they are manufactured. Just sounds so ill.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair term now. I think they're more manufacturers than they are farmers.
Okay. Are there actual situations where there are chickens that do have freedom and room to roam around, where they're not shoved into civilizations like that? Does it actually exist at all?
I mean, unfortunately, if you're buying eggs, you know, off a shelf in a grocery store, you know, chances are they are not coming from a farm like that, because that is just exceedingly rare. You know, I think that unless you are actually seeing chickens, you know, in a backyard,
farm.
You actually, and you can assume they're coming from, you know, from one of these more industrial settings, because, you know, it's simply a matter of numbers. And you know, even if they are living in a nicer setting, if they're coming from a hatchery, you know, most of these hatcheries that egg-laying hens come from, they kill the male chicks by either grinding them up alive or suffocating them.
Right.
And once, you know, once their bodies can't produce eggs anymore, most of, you know, chickens on most of these operations are going to the slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
And we know that nothing humane happens there. So, you know, we encourage people to explore the delicious vegan alternatives to eggs that are out there now. I mean, there are so many options for baking without eggs. There are egg replacers that you can find in health food stores, in many grocery stores.
Right.
There's even a newer product called the Vegan Egg, made by Follow Your Heart. I know that's my go-to for baking. You can scramble it. You can do all kinds of things with it. And, you know, I think that, frankly, it's better for our health to be skipping eggs anyway, since, you know, they're high in fat and cholesterol and don't contain any fiber. When you consider that, and you, you know, consider the conditions that these hens are living in, it's an easy decision.
I guess, yeah. Or if you have a farmland in the area that actually sells them in a, you know, in a small farm situation, I guess that's all right. But there, as you say, mass production, supermarkets, mass production, there's no way around it, pretty much.
Right. Well, and, you know, as an animal rights group, we don't condone using animals for, you know, for any reason, which is why PETA promotes a healthy vegan lifestyle.
Right.
But however, we would not oppose eating eggs from chickens who are, you know, companions.
If
the birds are receiving excellent care and they're not purchased from hatcheries who are committing
these
horrors. But, you know, we just encourage people to make sure they're ready for the commitment of adopting chickens.
You don't want the suffering of any living thing, and that's the bottom line to the whole thing.
Exactly. You know, when you bring any animal into your home, you want to be sure you're prepared for the responsibility right. of having them.
How do we get more information?
People can visit PETA.org. They can watch the footage that we were discussing of industrial farms, of the farms with certified humane label, and judge for themselves whether they think it looks humane.
But they can also have
great resources there about how to bypass eggs when you're baking, when you're making breakfast. There's so many great alternatives. Yeah.
I get a little confused about the videos of the chickens and people at the southern border, immigrants. So they look the same to me sometimes, unfortunately. And you don't have to comment.
I would just say if you watch PETA's website and watch our videos, I think.
Okay.
That's one thing about animals. I think wherever we stand on all these other issues.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like most people can come to the table and say that they believe in treating animals humanely.
No question.
Think that's one great thing about these issues. We can all agree.
True. Very true. Hey, Ashley, thank you for your time today. Really do appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Okay. Have a wonderful day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you to my guests, and thank you to you for spending the time. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program, but until that time arrives, I wish you peace.